I've mentioned at a couple of the services that Dave's book is now available in the Kindle format. But apparently I didn't give enough detail because some people have tried to go to Dave's website and get it that way. You can't get it, not the Kindle version, at Dave's website. What you can get there is the PDF version. And you can get it in multiple languages. I don't know how many altogether. We keep adding more, but I know it's in English and Spanish and Russian and Polish and Portuguese and Japanese, and I think the French one is done now, and on and on and on. But now, if you want the Kindle version, and by the way, you don't have to have a Kindle, the literal machine, to use it. I don't own one of those. But you can download a Kindle app and put it on almost any kind of iPad, laptop, computer, anything like that. But then to get the Kindle version, you go to Amazon, and you just type in Dave Roberson. I think this is the only book he has there right now. Or you could type in The Walk of the Spirit, and you'll see it there. And again, if we had our way, it would be absolutely free. But Amazon people, they don't like to do things for free. So the minimum charge that you can do is 99 cents. And so it's 99 cents, but you can have it then on your iPhone. I have it on my iPhone. I have it on my iPad. I have it on my computer. And so I just wanted you to know, though, to download the Kindle version of The Walk of the Spirit, The Walk of Power, you get that from Amazon, not DaveRoberson.org. Got it? Got it. Okay, good deal. Open up to Luke chapter 8. Exhort you over the offering for a few moments. What's interesting, this is one that I probably done this one at every conference. To me, we seldom get to look behind the scenes of Jesus' ministry. I mean, he traveled with these apostles and other people, and I don't know if you know this, things weren't free back then either. And they would have to buy food, they would have to buy lodging, they would have to do different things. If they had animals that went with them, they had to buy feed. And so there were expenses. And we're not often able to see behind the scenes. Well, how was the ministry of Jesus really financed? How many of you think God is smart? See, you know, God could have arranged things by His Spirit any way that He wanted to in order for us to understand how the kingdom is supposed to function. I just find it very interesting that in all of the ministry of Jesus, everything we see, how many of you know He is the Son of God? He is our great high priest. He is our king. But in all of His ministry, if you'll notice, He never received a single tithe. It always gets really quiet when I say that. Really quiet. Now, I mean, if don't you find that interesting? He's not even of the tribe of Levi. It was illegal for him to receive a tithe. He's of the tribe of Benjamin, and they're not allowed to receive it in the first place. And I'm not going to teach it tonight. Most people that try and promote tithing as being obligatory, is that the right word? By obligation to do today, they go to Hebrews 7 to try and prove it. And the truth of the matter is, Hebrews 7 proves that you're not under the tithe, not under the law of Moses regarding the tithe, when it's taught accurately. Well, if he wasn't financed, I mean, if you just think about it, you know, he wasn't a Levite. He never received any tithes, any of those offerings that's under the Levitical system. He wasn't. So how was his ministry financed? They had expenses. Did he work at the, you know, five and dime? Did he work at the gas station? You know? Well, Luke 8 is that rare opportunity where we can see what was God's plan for the ministry to be financed. So let's just pick it up here, and it says, verse 1, "And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him." So get the picture. There's at least 12 traveling with him, and he's going from city to city, village to village, preaching and demonstrating. That's preaching and showing the glad tidings. So there's healing meetings going on and all kinds of things. So they're going from, how many of you think there's expenses involved with that? Sure there is. "And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities." starts giving examples. Mary, called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils. I've really meditated this. I've thought, wonder what her life was like before Jesus came to town. What kind of torment, hopelessness, bondage, already seven devils, no way to get free. Couldn't go to the synagogue and get free. Couldn't go to the temple and get free. There's only one that had freedom for her, and it's Jesus. And Joanna, it wasn't just Mary of Magdalene, I don't think was really a woman of means, you know, don't know for sure. But Joanna was. She was the wife of Chuza. Well, who in the world is Chuza? Oh, nobody too important. King Herod's steward. This is the man that handled the money for the king. And Chuza, or Joanna, is his wife. You reckon she might have had access to a few funds. She might have been able to put a few coins in the offering, I'm thinking. But now, as famous as she was, this next one, there's not even a description after her name. It says, and Susanna. And apparently, everybody knew who Susanna was. No description is even required. And they go, oh, Susanna? Okay, we all know who that is. And notice, and many others, say many, not a few, many others, which ministered unto him of their substance. So how was the ministry of Jesus financed? Let every man purpose. Let every woman purpose in their own heart. It's free will offerings. It's what we looked at the first night, going all the way back to Exodus, when the first sanctuary was being built, the first tabernacle. And he just asked for free will offerings. Not law, not a curse if you don't, just if you want to help. And the people, I asked Jim, have you ever seen this happen yet? The people brought so much that the minister had to stand up and say, stop. Have you ever seen that yet? I believe we will see that. I believe we'll see that. Say, please, no more, please. But free will, God wants it from the heart. We are His children. He wants it from us. So as I was meditating this, see, this passage means so much to me. Sue and I, we were so lost. I'm telling you, I know what it is to be lost. I was an alcoholic for about 10 years before I got saved. My only sister had committed suicide. The things that were told to us by supposedly, well, they were men of God. They were just wrong. They kind of blamed God. And that put me on a downward spiral for a long time. I thought, you know, if God is the kind that'll come and just kill my sister, don't know that I want to serve Him, you know. So if you wind up without God, there's a real hole in your heart. And I tried to fill it with fame. I tried to fill it with money. I tried to fill it with alcohol. I tried to fill it with pornography. I tried to fill it with everything for a long time. Sue and I, we were so lost. We weren't good people. People liked us. But we were sinners. We knew we were sinners. We knew we were on our way to hell. So I was meditating this even before this service. And I'm going, Lord, you know who we felt like. See, one of the songs that I can never make it through without crying hardly. And I can't sing it at all. But it's that song about that alabaster box. And I thought about that woman with the alabaster box, you know, and I said, boy, that's who I felt like. That's who Sue and I felt like. When we got saved, I said, Lord, I can understand wanting to kiss your feet and wash your feet with my tears. I said, Lord, where is that woman? Where do I find that woman with the alabaster box? This happened tonight.
back up into the previous chapter. Right before this. Look at this. Chapter 7, verse 36.
One of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Hallelujah. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, "This man," here's a religion for you, "this man, if he were a prophet, he would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him." You can just feel the revulsion in it, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, "Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, "Master, say on." He said, "There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most?" Simon answered and said, "I suppose that he to whom he forgave the most." And he said, "Thou hast rightly judged." And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, "Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet. But she has washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with the ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins," it's what he said to me, Gary, Sue, it's what he said to you too, "the sins which are many, they are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." And he said unto her, it's the best day of your life when he said it to you. "Thy sins are forgiven." I don't ever want that to become common. It's 32 years ago. And it's as real in me today as it was then. I owe him everything. No one else could get me out of hell but him. Without him, I'd for sure go there. What's the true motivation? It's when he's touched your heart. He saved your life, healed your body, saved my family, my children, my grandchildren. I've got to get the gospel to the next town. When we give an offering like we're given tonight, it's not about nicer things, although that's fine. Who's the next Mary that's going to be saved? Who's the next one that's going to be healed? Who's the next one? It's going to be baptized in the Holy Ghost and have a whole new walk with God. Who's the next one that's going to get a copy of Dave's book somehow? And it's going to change their life like it changed all of our lives. That's the motivation for giving. That's the heart of these women. When you've been healed and set free, God, get this gospel to the next town. Get that healing touch to the next place. Thank God for the internet we have today. Thank God for the methods we have sending this around the world. I only know of two ways to give. One is to just look in your own heart what you'd like to give, or ask the Lord, say, "Lord, I'm your steward. I know you don't have any hands to give into any offering except the hands of your people. Lord, if you have an amount you'd like for me to give tonight as your steward, Lord, you speak it and I'll give it. And if you don't hear him, then whatever's in your heart, that's what these people were doing. Whatever's in your heart, that's what'll bless him. Amen.